Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Well, he lived two doors down from me. He was my age, and he had a brother who was a year younger. We grew up together. In fact, when we started school, we were in the same kindergarten class, and, well, my older sisters used to watch him during the summer. It's one of those things that that they did. His mom was a single parent back in the day when most mothers were stay-at-home moms. They did that until they got old enough to get in trouble on their own without somebody having to watch them. Now, as we grew up together, we were very close. I said like we were like brothers until we got to junior high. And then in junior high, that's when, well, we were both in sports, and we were very competitive, and so we kind of drifted apart, and we did so even in through high school. In my sophomore year there, I didn't make the school basketball team, and he did, and so my junior year, I didn't go out for the basketball team, and he played football as well as I did, and so senior year, he didn't go out for football. And so our senior year in high school then, it's like, well, we're no longer in competition with each other. Well, we got to be good friends again. Well, after high school there, well, he ended up going down to Texas Christian University down in Fort Worth, Texas, and I went to Kansas State. And he was there for a couple years, and then found out that he was leaving TCU and coming back to Kansas, going to go to K-State, and so I called him up and said, hey, I'm moving into a house, and I said, I could use a few roommates. I said, would you like to be one of my roommates? He said, sure. So that he did. So here he moved in, and so we were roommates in college there until we graduated. And then, well, after that, well, we got jobs, and so we kind of separated from that point in time and really didn't get in too much conversation and too much being in touch with each other. Well, now recall here, we're in the season of Epiphany. Now, it began last week with Jesus' baptism, and the focus during this time of the church year is focusing on Jesus' earthly ministry. And so now here for our gospel reading here for today, well, we find that is the time is the day after Jesus was baptized. Well, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Now, this is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist here. Now, he had been preaching there for the people to repent, that they needed to turn back to God because the kingdom of God was coming. In fact, it was coming because Jesus was there. They needed to get their act together there and start following the Lord once again. And having done all this preaching here, well, Jesus comes to be baptized by John. Now, at first, what happens here is that, you know, John was kind of uncomfortable doing that, and Jesus is like, no, this is all well and good. He goes, this needs to happen. So, John baptized him. And it's that point in time there that God was setting apart Jesus for ministry. And we know that Jesus here was set aside because what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove and rested on him. And so now we have this case where Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one. And so now it is the next day. And John calls out to the people there, directing their attention to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now in that statement there, so much is said. Think about it. Behold, the Lamb of God. The lamb. What was the lamb used for there for the Jews? Well, lambs were used many times as a sacrifice. Sacrifice for sins. And in order to use one of those lambs, okay, the lamb itself had to be without blemish. Okay? Had to be the very best. Couldn't be sick. couldn't have a broken leg, couldn't be lame or anything like that. You're not using your leftovers here. You know, it's like, well, this is the bad lamb. We don't need to have this around the flock here, so we'll use that as sacrifice. You can't do that. Okay? Had to be perfect. And so now, here is John pointing out Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, he had to be perfect too. In fact, he was perfect. He was without sin. But what else is said there? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yeah, the world. That's important to remember there, because Jesus, the sacrifice here, was just not for the Jews, but for everybody, Gentiles included. Jesus came to take away the sins of everybody. Now, there's a reason for that. Sin, okay? You and I, we all sin. We all have those sins. They keep us out of heaven. And now it's something, though, that we've all learned. Somebody had to have told you about your sins, about the need for a Savior. See, that's important. Important for us to know. Because how are you going to learn something about that unless somebody tells you? You see, somebody took to heart the Great Commission there. Okay? And what is that? What is that Jesus shared? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, that happened to you because someone told you about Jesus. Someone explained to you about Jesus. And just like John did it in talking about Jesus. So we continue in our lesson here today. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Well, the next day, again, as it says there in Scripture, this is 2 days after Jesus was baptized. And John sees him again and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, this time, two of John's disciples follow Jesus. And one of them following there, his name was Andrew. And what did he do? He goes and gets his brother Simon Peter and says to him, "Hey, we've found the Messiah." And what does he do? He brought him to Jesus. Now, one year, my family, we had a family reunion in Estes Park, Colorado. Now, at the time, we were living down there in Florida, and so here I took my family. We all went up to Estes Park and saw all my sisters and their spouses, and they brought their kids too, and my mom and dad, we were all out there. And in fact, I've only got one first cousin, and she came with her mom and brought her kids as well. So it was a great time in which we all got together there. Now, one of the things about going to Estes Park, that friend of mine who I grew up with, well, his mom had remarried, and they moved out to Estes Park. And so we wanted to stop by and see her, because it was great to be able to kind of rub elbows with somebody that I grew up with. And when I got over there to his mom's house, found out that my friend, he was there. I thought that was kind of unusual that he's living there with his mom again. And so he said to me, he's like, "Well, I've got to tell you something, that I've been diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. I'm going to step outside and let my mom explain to you what's been going on." Well, he steps outside, and so his mom explained to us that, well, basically, he was hearing voices in his head. And because it was so bad, then he had to be on medication to really get it under control, you know, some significant medication, that he ended up being on disability. So he had to leave his job at an accounting firm and then moved in with his mom. Now, found out about all that, and so, I mean, quite frankly, kind of explained some things growing up about his behavior, and even as my roommate, but still, he was doing better there with his mom. So it was a good opportunity to see him again. Now, we were up there for a couple more days in Estes Park, and so then all our families, we all went back home to our separate places. But it was a couple weeks after that that I got a phone call from him out of the blue. He said, "Hey, I'm getting baptized next Sunday." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "That's cool. I think so too." Click. That was it. Now, that short conversation there, well, that's just kind of partly what goes along with somebody who's diagnosed with this particular condition. Well, a week later, he calls me up. He says, "Hey, got baptized." I said, "That's awesome." I said, "Well, what church did you get baptized at?" He said, "The Lutheran church." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Why'd you pick that church?" He goes, "Well, that's what you are, isn't it?" I'm like, "Yeah." That point in time, yeah, I was down in Florida as a Lutheran pastor. You see, over the years, I kept him in my prayers. And I was like, "Lord, you know, bring him to faith." You know, you have no idea about the impact that your introduction will have on a person. You see, when I'm talking about an introduction there, I'm talking about introducing them to Jesus. It can be in a conversation, or it can be, you know, like in VBS, and that was something that my mom had invited them to come along with. And so, yeah, they came when we were growing up to I was Baptist at that time, went to VBS there. And in fact, she came to church a few Sundays in a row. Now, she was Episcopal, and it was kind of different for her, and so they decided not to go anymore. In fact, that they hadn't gone to church at all. But yet, it's one of those opportunities there that, nonetheless, he heard about Jesus. You see, that's all you need to do, is be that witness. Tell others what you know about Jesus and let God do the rest. Well, he started calling me almost daily after that. And so we'd be talking on the phone. He's always calling collect because, well, quite frankly, he was concerned about being able to pay his bills. In fact, in the winter there in the mountains of Colorado, he kept his apartment at 48 degrees because he was afraid he wouldn't be able to pay his heating bill. Well, he did that for a while, and then all of a sudden he quit calling. And his mom called me up about a month later and said that he had taken his own life. He left a note saying that it's like, "Well, you know, Mom, I don't think I, you know, can pay my bills, and I don't want you to worry about it anymore. So this is the best way to go." Well, my friend gave up on himself, but God does not give up on him. In fact, I told his mom that, and I said, "You know, don't let anybody tell you otherwise." I said, just because he did that, again, he was giving up on himself. He still has faith in Jesus. Because you see, that same God who died for him died for you and me. Died that he might have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. You see, that's important to remember. Because I take comfort in that. Because there'll be a day in which the Lord God's going to call me home, and I'll be there in heaven. I'll be there and see my friend. Why? Because he knows Jesus. He knows that Jesus died for him. In fact, it's kind of funny, one of the verses here that was his favorite verse is that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When he called, he used to share that with me almost all the time. You know, he goes, "Remember what we used to do?" I'm like, "Yeah." I said, the difference for me and you here on that is that I know God forgave me all those sins years and years ago. But for him, it was fresh. It was brand new. He couldn't believe that God would love him so much that all of that was wiped away. Why? Because he heard about Jesus. You see, that's important to know. And that's important to be just like Andrew in our lesson here today. What did he do when he found out about Jesus? He went and grabbed his brother Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. That's what we need to go away with here today, knowing that our God loves us so very much, so that in every situation, lead them to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus, and then let God do the rest. He's the one who brings us to faith. Faith through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.